And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got some weather developing out there, so make sure you're safe and are weather aware as you're driving around this morning. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How are we doing?
Yes, shout out to my coworker Chantel Jennings, who is a little bit of a scared flyer. She and her husband are flying back today to Minneapolis. She's like, "Do they fly in thunderstorms in Nashville?" I'm like, "Well, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I've flown out and flown in, but looks like the thunderstorms hopefully will be done in the 8 o'clock hour."
Yeah.
So if you're driving out there, 7 o'clock hour might be rough.
Could be. But hopefully not.
But if you're driving right now, then you beat the rush and you're good.
Yeah, all good. Michelle, what's going on? How's your weekend?
Doing great today, guys. Kentucky women's basketball.
That's pretty nice.
The game in Bridgestone yesterday. Pretty incredible game.
Do you have the audio ready? Like, do you have you?
Do I have my?
Yeah, your called shot.
Oh, I'm going to bring it up, but
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Next break. Coming back in the next break, yes.
Nice. That was, man, that was incredible. That's the best game so far. That's the best game of March so far. It's March 7th. There's going to be some other incredible ones, but that was an incredible win and run for Kentucky.
How was your weekend at the SEC Women's Tournament at Bridgestone?
It was good. You know, it was, of course, they're largely following Tennessee. And, Tennessee losing to Kentucky in the semis, it was like I came away like I don't think they played poorly. Like, I was like, if Tennessee plays like this, Tennessee has a really good chance of getting the Sweet 16, winning two games at home. Kentucky's just, they are soaring right now. That's going to be like, I don't know what, maybe a 7 seed now in the tournament?
Yeah.
They've been banged up all year. They have arguably the best player in the sport. I mean, Ryan Howard is a spectacular player. You know, it's like I'd say maybe her and Caitlin Clark and maybe Nalissa Smith from Baylor are the best three players in the country. So it was a lot of good hoops. And I still think South Carolina, great chance to win the whole thing. This might end up being good for South Carolina. But Tennessee, they played freshmen a lot more. And they've got some freshmen who I think are going to do more in the NCAA tournament. And, it's you lose Jordan Horson, it's your best player by far. But I thought they actually adjusted pretty well. So I think it ended up being a good weekend for them, even though obviously they wanted to be playing yesterday.
Do we think Coach Cal found his Rolex? Nice video yesterday by Kyle Tucker, friend of the show, by the way.
Good job, Kyle.
Of Cal in the stands, throwing those hands up when the final shot goes in, and all of a sudden the Rolex on the wrist is gone. Now, as there have been many, like, Zapruder film sleuths on Twitter that have noticed that you can see the watch like flying off his wrist, and it appears as if there's a woman a few rows back that picks it up and is looking around like, where did this come from? But I don't know that that's ever been resolved at this point.
No, he put on Instagram. He got the watch
back.
So, yes.
Okay, so she did her civic duty and found the watch.
So was it like, ooh, I have a Rolex, and then it's like, oh, it's Cal's and it's all over the internet.
Bully.
I better give it back to Cal?
Well, listen, he tweeted and said he had a reward, so give him the Rolex back. You never know what you're going to get.
How much would that watch be worth?
I don't know.
Oh, at least probably $100,000.
$100,000?
$100,000.
Really?
I don't know. I have no clue.
I'm not up on
those. Those are expensive.
Yeah, but I got $100,000. Now I got to Google this.
Okay, well, maybe
depends
I'm
on what kind of Rolex
wrong.
It is, right?
I don't know. White gold Rolex.
Yeah,
that's,
I have no clue.
Right? That's what he said.
Yeah.
Holy cow, man. Yeah, no, it looks like more. That's what I thought. Like, I'm looking at these, like, 12,000 type stuff.
Only 12 grand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know. Yeah. 100, that'd be like that. Well, here's one. There's a Rolex men's day date that's 38K.
Well, could be.
A Yachtmaster 2 is 47K.
You don't think he's so got, like, a one-of-a-kind? Like, there's no one-of-a-kind UK symbol in the Rolex? Like, that
probably.
That could bring it up.
That's true. You custom-made. Yeah. The Rolex Submariner, which looks really cool, 53K. So, yeah, you're not far off, probably. My goodness.
Better secure that thing a little tighter on the wrist there, Cal.
Yeah, he was having a blast in the crowd, huh?
Yeah.
He was living it up. That's cool. Like, I think that's cool that he came and, supported them. Now I got to see this video. I mean, I watched it once, but I didn't actually see like the watch flying off.
Oh yeah,
you can. You can see him looking around.
Well, back at the beginning, if you really look in there, you got to really dig in there. But you can see that thing airborne going back a few rows. It's pretty awesome. I'm glad Cal found it though. It's good stuff.
Yeah, good. So he put it on Instagram. And he didn't put it on Twitter.
I guess so.
Okay, where's the woman who's finding it?
I'll have to.
Yeah.
You really got to look. I'll point it out to you later.
He's like, I'm so excited, but oh my god,
where's my watch? Oh man, good stuff. Congratulations to the Kentucky women. We'll see if Michelle's full called shot can come through, where the men went as well.
That's right. Oh, so this is only a half shot that you got, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's pretty good though.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good half shot.
Yeah. Honestly, when it happened, I screamed.
Oh, I have no doubt.
And then my adrenaline was just insane. I was like, I can't calm down.
I can't believe this happened. Oh, good
that
stuff.
Was a great game.
Tennessee, big win against Arkansas on Saturday. Looked like they were on their way to rolling in that game in the first half. And then it got very, very interesting in the second half, Joe Rextro, to the point where when Zakai Ziegler, who they were talking about on the broadcast, he's been shooting over 90% at the free throw line in SEC play. When they started talking about that, I was like, hey, will you shut up? They got an equal clang the first one right off the back rim. It's like, oh boy, here they go. But Tennessee holds on.
Yeah. I mean,
big win against Arkansas.
Kenny Chandler can't miss from three, 5 for 5.
Yeah.
Can't make a free throw.
Yeah.
And hit missing front ends. I mean, the fact that a 23-point lead got down to 2 a couple times is pretty amazing.
It really was.
Kind of speaks well of Arkansas, too. They're a good team. But, yeah, it's just if you can just eliminate that, you know, that 6-minute stretch where you just all of a sudden, like everything starts going wrong at once, you got a chance to do something. Because when they get playing well, they defend, they run, they shoot, they move the ball. They're really good. Of course, they don't have TBA anymore, the best home atmosphere in the SEC. They don't have that as a benefit anymore.
16-0.
Incredibly
biased.
That's
right.
16-0. GB Joe. Biased.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Tennessee fans, what were they? They were yelling at me for being a Vandy homer this week.
They were?
Yeah. Come on. It is
what
it is.
You can never win.
Yeah, exactly. But in all seriousness, Tennessee has a chance to, this is going to be one of the greatest teams of Tennessee men's basketball history going to the tournament.
Yep.
I mean, it is. I mean, they're going to be a 3 seed, and they've only been better than that 3 times in their history. So, we'll see. I mean, that's when you bring up the Rick Barnes and March stuff, which is totally fair. But I think this team's built to do some stuff.
I think so, too. Kennedy Chandler was hot from 3 the other day. Vescovy shooting the ball well heading into the tournament. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the SEC tournament with them coming up this weekend in Tampa. Both you and Michelle will be down there. That's going to be exciting.
And I'm going to be a fan, and I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
A big Tennessee-Kentucky matchup down there.
That could be on Saturday. Saturday could see Arkansas-Auburn and Tennessee-Kentucky.
Now, we know that somebody's going to lose, right?
Yes, exactly. Like, and whenever you look at something like that, like, just you know at least one of them is going to get tripped up. But it does sound like an awesome Saturday. I'll see if I can see your buddy Matt Jones on press row.
Yeah.
We'll try to get you together. Try to get you guys together for a picture.
Or you'll see me just like crying or as a full fangirl. So my sister goes to Tennessee, and I told my dad, I said, you're required to be a Kentucky fan because she's not going to be there and I am. But if she was there, I'd allow you to be Switzerland. But he has to be a Kentucky fan.
Wow. Laying down the law.
So he can't be a Tennessee fan?
Nope. He can't be a
Tennessee.
A wild ball?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that one.
Oh, man. Disappointing end to Belmont season. It really is. You know, I was watching that game the other night, and they just couldn't shoot. And it's amazing to me that a Belmont team couldn't shoot. You know, everybody's all over Casey Alexander right now for calling a timeout. Like, he called a timeout 2.5 seconds before that shot went in, and the referee didn't call it. So, I don't have a whole lot of patience for that.
The ball got knocked into the back court, and he went right to the ref and was popping the timeout.
Yeah.
And then it moves around. Yeah, that's, you know.
It just is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Exactly.
But it is kind of amazing to think about this team and this group of players that have been together, and they're not going to be in the tournament this year. And they've been in, you know, guys like Nick Mazinski, Grayson Murphy, one tournament. appearance.
Yeah, it's too bad. 2 years ago, they had an incredible win over Murray State in the championship, of course, right before COVID. And that team, I think, really could have been a problem for somebody in the tournament. And, of course, I mean, Murphy and Mazinski as freshmen got the one NCAA win in Belmont history, Rick Bird's last year. So they have that. It's just, you know, players like that, the point guard like Murphy and then a big like Mazinski, they aren't just everyday players, you know. They're really special players in the history of the program, and it's pretty hard to believe that they won't they'll only play in that one tournament.
It is hard to believe that. Vanderbilt wins against Ole Miss over the weekend. It looked like they were in trouble in the first half. They come back, play much better in the second half, and win by two against Kermit Davis and Ole Miss. So a nice way to close out the regular season. We'll see what they can do come tournament time here in Tampa this week. But I think it's clear that with Liam Robbins coming in, they were a different team. I would have been interested to see what that looked like from start to finish.
Yeah, well, and with Rodney Chapman, who they may get back this week, he definitely made a difference when he was out there too. But they're 15-15, so you know, you beat Georgia Wednesday night, and I think you got a chance to be in the NIT, which would be a big deal, I think, for them to be able to get that opportunity. So, you know, it's, I mean, look, 7-11 in the SEC, some games they'd love back, some finishes they'd love back. 7 wins is more than the last 3 seasons combined. So, you know, it's a step. It could have been more of a step. This week you got – so the Belmont women are in. Destiny Wells is a fantastic player. Watch her. She beat Gonzaga last year in the NCAA tournament. MTSU men and women both have a shot. I mean, CUSA, they're basically number 2 in those leagues. North Texas is a favorite, but for the men, you know, that's what MTSU, they'll probably have to beat them. And then Chattanooga tonight plays to be in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2016 on ESPN at 6:00 in the SoCon title game. So got some
hashtag basketball state.
Oh, and by the way, Memphis, Penny.
Uh-huh.
Yep, they're going to be in. They smoked Houston yesterday, so I'm here for all of it. I'm here for all of it. I knew they'd be must watch this year. Didn't know it would be because of this, but what a wacky year they've had.
I love the throwback Memphis State jerseys they had on yesterday. Yeah. It's good stuff. I could do without the floor that
I was just
going to
say. I could barely see it because of the floor, but yes, yes, those were cool jerseys.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it was a goal-scoring party on Saturday night for the Nashville Predators in San Jose. We'll recap that game, look ahead to what is a massive week for the Predators coming up this week, a lot of which will be at home at Bridgestone Arena. That's coming up on the other side. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. It's conference championship week in college basketball, and FanDuel Sportsbook has an offer that you don't want to miss. Right now, new customers can place their first college basketball bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. The SEC tournament taking place this week. Maybe you like the Vols to make a deep run. I'm kind of on the Arkansas train heading into the tournament, but you take it any way you want to take it. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. You can see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Sign up using promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Kentucky women's basketball and men's basketball will both win the SEC tournament.
Okay.
Wow. A little double dip right there. Robbie, I don't know why you're laughing at me.
Let me tell you something. If the Kentucky women win this tournament this week, they beat South Carolina, this is the ultimate, one of the ultimate called shots coming true. So,
yes.
I love your BBN-ness.
Enthusiasm.
There you have it. Michelle Knezvik's called shot on Friday, one of the ultimate called shots coming true. Here we are on this Monday morning, and Kentucky's done it.
I braced there for a minute. I'm like, oh, no.
What did I say?
Wash her car. What did I say I was going to do? But thank goodness.
You actually didn't say you would do anything for that one.
Yeah, so. Thank goodness.
Which is kind of a shock.
Yeah. Nice shot, man. Did not see that coming. I didn't know how good Kentucky was.
Either, to be honest. Yeah.
They're good.
Does this mean that Kentucky men's team's going to lose first day?
Probably.
What are they looking at? Are they looking at Mississippi State, South Carolina winner? Is that what Kentucky's looking at the bracket? I gotta get this bracket memorized.
I was about to say I rely on you to tell me things like this.
I know that. Like I said, Vanderbilt plays Georgia, so it's 11-14 game Wednesday night. Oh, good, some night games this week. Be ready for me to be chipper.
You'll be in great
mood. The show Thursday and Friday. And then if they win that, they get Bama the late game Thursday. I know that for sure.
Early called shot. Vandy wins and then beats Bama.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're calling that shot already? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I could, yeah. I mean, it's possible. They should have beat Bama. That's one of those games that they absolutely had. I mean, it was at home, but, it's not like the home court is that big of a deal. But speaking of real quick, before we get into Preds, how about Duke UNC?
Yeah.
The biggest party ever in Chapel Hill for ruining Coach K's farewell tour. Oh, my God.
Fitting end to that rivalry there.
It's actually pretty amazing. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
It was.
And the handshakes, that did not happen. I mean, Chris Carwell, come on, man.
A lot of talk about the handshake line nowadays in college basketball. My goodness.
And if you're going to have one and you're going to do that and not shake a coach, you're going to get called out for it.
I loved Coach K's speech at the end of it when he was starting to talk about, tonight is unacceptable, and the crowd started whatever.
You be quiet.
Sit down. Be quiet. I'm talking.
You shut up right now.
Jeez, dude. All right.
And then man. And then the ceremony went on, and he's like, oh, please get me out of here. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see one of those. The last one I remember was Gene Katy did it. He had a year of transition to bring Matt Painter in. But I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon.
Think about how unbearable that ceremony must have been for him.
Yeah.
Itching out of his skin.
And that's one of those things. It's like you can do that before the game and,
don't have to worry about that
then,
stuff.
Then the result doesn't matter. But, they thought they were going to win. By the way, in the bracket, I was wrong. So Kentucky gets – we could be looking at – if you're right, Michelle, then we could be looking at Vanderbilt, Kentucky as the late game Friday night. So there you go.
Get excited.
Tennessee is waiting on the winner of South Carolina, Mississippi State. So, there you go.
Frank Martin. Guy's dangerous.
Do not taunt Frank Martin. Not anger Frank Martin. Scariest guy in sports.
What a game for the Predators the other night. We talked about the Seattle game. I thought it was their worst performance of the year. I thought it was a really bad loss for the Predators against Seattle last week. I wondered how they would respond to that on Saturday, and respond they did. 8-0 they win on Saturday night in the Shark Tank at San Jose. Now look, I don't want to get too crazy with it. San Jose is a bad team. They're not that bad, but they're a bad team. But the Predators just worked them on Saturday night. 8-0 the final score. By the way, speaking of called shots, UC Soros shutout. We'll check that one off the list.
Ooh.
Check that one off the list on Saturday. This is the most successful called shot Friday we had in a while, probably.
Did I get any right?
I don't know. I have to look.
I'm going to have to look now. Probably not.
UC Soros with his third shutout of the year. Michael McCarron, Matt Luff, and Philip Tomasino. Have yourself a night. They all had 3 points in that game. And then there's Roman Josi, who was a +6 and had 4 assists. Pretty good stuff from the captain the other night. But that fourth line, very dangerous offensively, obviously. I don't think it's fair to expect that type of offensive night from them moving forward, but anytime you can get production like that from your fourth line, probably going to be in good shape.
Yeah, 10 combined points from that line.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know. Tell me, what was their combined point total of the season?
It couldn't have been much more than that.
So, probably just a wacky outlier against a bad team. Josi is, that's in line with his season, which is pretty ridiculous. But you wonder, could that be anything to build on with those guys here and there? You little chip in a goal here and there? Wouldn't hurt.
Look, it was interesting because we've talked about them not breaking up lines, and the last two games they've done it. They broke up Sissons' line against Seattle. Obviously, John Hines was pretty vocal about that Friday on our show. Was not a fan of that.
Not a fan.
Put the Sissons' line back together, and this time he breaks up Granlund's line and moves Forsberg and Duchesne up with Ryan Johansson. Matt Duchesne scores 2 goals the other night, which, by the way, brings him to 27 on the year so far. You had Granlund with Tolvanen and Cunnan, so kind of a throwback to the top six that was, at times in the playoffs last year with Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne, and then Tolvanen, Cunnan, Granlund. So
Look, I don't know if that's going to be what they stick with moving forward. It's difficult for me to imagine after an 8-0 win you changing too much up from the lineup perspective, but I thought that was an interesting switcheroo the other night from John Hines.
Johansson's like, yes, please.
Thank God.
Can we stick with this for a little bit? Yeah, I mean, that. And look, I think that doing that and then keeping your herd line intact makes more sense. I get it. So maybe Granlund, you know, and the young guys work well together. And I mean, it's been such a good line, you know, Granlund with Duchesne and Forsberg. But I can't imagine that those guys are going to suffer for being with Johansson, you know? So maybe this is the move.
Well,
it sticks.
And you know, if you're John Hines, you know, if you run into trouble, you can always put Granlund back with Duchesne and Forsberg and then try to figure it out from there. I just thought it was good to see that the other night. Like, you need to get Johansson going, whether that's with those two or whether it ends up being with somebody else. Like, you got to find a way to get him going and get that confidence back 5-on-5. It was good to see them play well and kind of control the game the other night. Like, again, it's 8-0, so it's an outlier game in a lot of ways, but that sets up a pretty huge week for them. I mean, you're looking at the standings right now. Dallas wins yesterday on the road against Minnesota, so they are red hot coming into this game.
And ahead of you.
They're ahead of you coming into the game. Minnesota's going the wrong way. I mean, you're only 1 point back of Minnesota right now. So you got a chance to pass the Wild, and they've only, you know, played one fewer game than you have at this point. But Edmonton's right there behind you. You got Anaheim later this week. They're right there behind you. It's a massive week for the Predators. And the good news is you got 3 of the 4 coming up this week at home. It's one thing to have it that way. You got to take advantage of it if you're the Predators. It's a big game Tuesday against Dallas. I think it's the last time they'll see Dallas this year.
Huge. And I mean, if you want it, you can look behind you. Like you said, right now you're in the 8 spot. So Preds are in the last spot right now.
Yep.
Because the Central would get both spots if it ended today. And actually, you know, all those Pacific teams have actually played more games now than the Preds.
Yeah.
But you can look the other way and look at St. Louis, and now they've caught up in games, and they're only 5 points ahead. Yeah. So, like, second place now has become
it's attainable.
Attainable. And like you said, the Wild are 2-8 in their last 10. But the Blues have lost 3 in a row now to open that door. I mean, it is a jumbled mess. Basically, I mean, really, basically, you have the Avalanche, and then you really have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, you got 10 teams after them in between both divisions that could end up in all kinds of different spots, including out of the playoffs, or, I mean, you know, the Pacific winner is very much up for grabs right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a race. There's no question about that. And Dallas, it's kind of amazing to think about that. You know, the All-Star break wasn't that long ago, and they were, what, 10 points back, and now they're in the first wild card spot.
4 in a row, 4 wins in a row, 7-2-1 in their last 10. Huge game tomorrow.
Oh, it's massive.
Huge.
And you got Jason Robertson of the Stars that has back-to-back hat tricks coming into the game. They just flashed this up on SportsCenter a minute ago. I think he's 22, maybe 23 years old. And there hasn't been anybody in the NHL that's had back-to-back hat tricks at that age since Philip Forsberg back in 2016-17.
Wow. Yeah, back-to-back hat tricks. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robertson's second one was, well,
not a great.
You're living
not
right.
Not goaltending.
You know, that was a living right hat trick. You had an empty netter and then a couple softies before that. But hey, whatever.
But that's, doesn't that tell you, though, like, Ottinger's playing really well in goal for the Stars right now. Like, you got to have your goalie playing well this time of year in Minnesota. It's been a little leaky up there as of late. So we'll see what happens on that front. The Wild going the wrong way. But massive game tomorrow, massive week for the Nashville Predators, a lot of which is at home this week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So big opportunity for the Predators to collect points, and not just collect points against teams that are right there with you in the standings. So going to be a massive week this week at Bridgestone Arena. We'll continue the conversation. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A very interesting report on Aaron Rodgers over the weekend as well that I am very excited to get Joe Rexroach's take on coming up on the other side. We'll do that Speaking of the Nashville Predators, the all-new Paint the Town Preds Pack is presented by Yeehaw Brewing and Old Smokey. You can purchase the pack and receive 2 weekend game tickets and 1 weeknight game ticket of your choice, plus receive a Preds car flag, a $25 Yeehaw Brewing Company gift card, and the opportunity to purchase 2022-23 season tickets as well. So visit NashvillePredators.com/paint to secure yours today. Get your Paint the Town Preds Pack today and score your own hat trick, Smashville. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This isn't part of the program. This is impromptu by me. I'm sorry about this afternoon. That, no, please, no, please, everyone be quiet. Let me just say, it's unacceptable. Today was unacceptable, but the season has been very acceptable. And, and I'll tell you, the season isn't over, all right?
Beautiful from Coach K over the weekend. No, hey, be quiet. Sit down, everyone.
You will shut up and listen to me now.
Shut up and listen to me. Great stuff from Coach K there. I wish them luck in the tournament.
And great stuff. I mean, UNC fans. Like, this is like, I think they might have celebrated more than if they go win the national title here in a few weeks. Ruin Krzyzewski's. Oh, man, you got to love sports.
How about all the Duke students whose faces are just painted blue and they're crying and the blue paint is just peeling off their faces?
Yeah, we got to stop. We got to stop crying. We got to get out of that stuff.
Yeah, there's some memes in there that will last.
Oh, yeah.
Like Surrender Cobra, you know, the guy, I forget his name, this Michigan fan, awesome yeah. kid. You know, he did the Surrender Cobra when the punt, Michigan State. And then, the same kid, you know, with Aaron Rodgers a few weeks later. Same kid is at the Lions-Packers game. Aaron Rodgers wins it with a Hail Mary at the end. And I'm like, dude, you are the best fan ever. But some of these memes are going to, they're going to be up there with that guy.
Well, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, interesting report over the weekend from Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio and company, putting it out there. It says, quote, Aaron Rodgers reportedly is torn between staying with the Packers or moving on. So if he'll be moving on, where will he go? Per a source with knowledge of the situation, Rodgers has specific deals lined up with other teams, and those teams have trade compensation lined up with the Packers. The potential moves have been arranged essentially with the permission of the Packers. The destinations are believed to be exclusively in the AFC. To little surprise, the Broncos are one of them. Other viable possibilities, we're told, are the Titans and the Steelers. This is coming from Pro Football Talk over the weekend. Now, Adam Schefter came out with a report the next morning, basically saying that the Packers have not engaged in any discussions whatsoever and that there are no trade deals in place. Matt Schneidman from The Athletic came out with a similar report. So did Rob Domofsky from ESPN after that as well. So there were 3 or 4 reports coming out after this, basically refuting the report that Pro Football Talk had. But very interesting nonetheless that Mike Florio was running with this on Friday night into Saturday morning. And as you can imagine, our good friend Jared Stillman was all over it on Saturday morning on Twitter.
I've spent way too much time texting back and forth with Jared this weekend. Way too much time. Look, first of all, I mean, Mike Florio, I mean, look, he's got some sources, so I don't doubt that. I mean, I would hope that his source on this is not, you know, just some fringe. I mean, it's a heck of a report, and it's very, very interesting. So I did a fair amount of reaching out to people this weekend, and I think the best way to characterize the response was I got laughed at. So take that for what you will. Look, I will say this. I think it would be smart of the Titans to absolutely look into this. And so if you're a Titans fan you're a Titans fan, you should like the idea of your GM doing everything possible to make your team better. And you can be better at quarterback, you know, not many ways, but this is one way.
Yeah.
Now, how would it work out? I'd love to see the terms of this fake trade. You know, it's also very interesting that, like you said, immediately there was a lot of dunking on this report from other reporters kind of disputing it. This is what I believe. I'm not reporting anything. That's not my – I mean, I can't report this, but I strongly believe this, and this is not just a guess. There's 100% chance he's going to be somewhere, and all 100% is with two teams. It is Green Bay or it is Denver.
Yeah.
I believe that strongly after not just sitting there guessing, but doing a fair amount of work this weekend.
Well, and to that point, the being torn on where he wants to play is not just a Florio report over the weekend. Ian Rappaport was talking about that on NFL Network. There seems to be genuine feeling out there that he is torn as to whether or not he wants to come back to Green Bay or whether he wants to go elsewhere, probably Denver. Now, how much is he actually torn and how much is he being Aaron Rodgers in this situation? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this man. I think anybody knows what's going on with this man. But the being torn part of it is not widely disputed at this point. Having trades lined up is a much different thing. Like, I guess working through back channels, if you're Aaron Rodgers, of like, what's the compensation here? And the Packers, like, I know we haven't taken any calls on Aaron Rodgers yet, but if we do, what's your offer? Like, it's, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
From all the reporting out there and from comments made from Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, like, it doesn't seem like they have much interest in even discussing trade options until he tells them, hey, I want out.
Yeah. Now, look, I think it would make sense for them to be ready. So, yeah. You know, like this isn't, this isn't the most outlandish idea, right? But it's just very interesting the way it's been reported and then refuted.
Flory also says, quote, to be clear, if Rodgers chooses Denver or Tennessee or Pittsburgh, the deals will fall into place quickly, both as to the trade terms and as to the contract Rodgers would sign as well. So, like, I'd be interested to know, and we're not gonna know this, but I'd be interested to know, like, who is his source on this that has, like, these details of trades being lined up that quick? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I would not expect Mike Florio to have something like this with a weak source.
No,
but he's had some weird stuff in the past, and I don't know. Rodgers' agent,
maybe. I don't know. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers this weekend was apparently officiating the wedding at David Bakhtiari's wedding. So,
what does that
mean?
Man
of many talents.
What does it mean?
I have no idea.
Is he saying goodbye, or is he declaring, vowing that he's going to stay with the Packers? I mean, you could look at it either way.
You could. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland, who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, man, good morning. I find Rodgers incredibly unlikable. I know that a lot of people do. I think I find Elway even more unlikable. So it makes sense they would be together. I don't understand how Denver keeps doing this. I feel like they stole Peyton Manning, although Bud Adams was really creepy with the way he handled that situation. So I get why he didn't want to come here. But I don't like that they're able to get both of these if they end up getting Rodgers. That's the one thing that doesn't sit well with me, is like, why Denver? Why do they get that? Because Elway was the old guy who won it, so they feel like they can win with him. It just sucks.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. I mean, it is kind of very reminiscent of the Peyton Manning situation. I saw David Beauclair point that out over the weekend as well. Now, I have no proof of this, but I've always kind of thought with Peyton Manning coming to the Titans that it was kind of like a courtesy visit of, all right, I played college football at Tennessee, I'll go look at the Titans. And also, this is kind of my way of shoving it to Indianapolis of, yeah, I might go play for the Titans. We'll see what happens here. So I don't know how seriously – look, I'm not in the mind of Peyton Manning. I don't know how seriously he ever took the meeting with the Titans.
They just weren't a very good team then.
They were not very good.
Yeah, it was a better situation in Denver.
Even when he was coming here, I was like, really? Titans, huh? Okay. That'd be interesting. But the Denver thing, I mean, it made sense at the time for Peyton Manning. You know, that's the thing that I keep coming back to. Yes, with Aaron Rodgers, Denver is going to be a good team. But you are right there with Herbert and Mahomes in your division. Which, I mean, if you're him, you can look at it either way. Yes, that's a challenge. Maybe he wants a challenge like that. I don't know. I have no clue what's going on through his mind right now. But if Denver finds their way into Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers at the end of their career, It's a hard pill to swallow for the rest of the AFC.
Yeah, it's such an interesting, you know, like an interesting franchise tradition. Like the Colts get like these incredible generational QBs at the top of the draft back to back. The Broncos are like, now we're just going to wait till someone's almost done and then sneak a title in with them. Yeah. You know? It's kind of like, well, if he does go there, it's also, I've thought about like Joe Montana to Kansas City, you know, leaving the Niners. And he went into, well, he went into division with John Elway in his prime at that point, which I guess is kind of reminiscent of this. But, yeah, I mean, the staff stuff and everything with the Broncos makes sense. And they could be.
But, hey, they did not hire Nathaniel Hackett to get Aaron Rodgers.
Right, right. Yes, right.
They didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Hackett's he's good enough he's good to have a job on his own. Yeah,
he's good. You know.
But it's really interesting. I'll tell you that. It is very. I mean, as soon as – actually, it was Teresa Walker at the SEC tournament Friday, like, oh, check this out. I'm like, what? What? I'm reading over her shoulder. Oh, God.
We'll take your thoughts on the Mike Florio report that Aaron Rodgers apparently has some deals lined up, some trades lined up, and maybe the Titans – are on his list. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What a year, huh? First, I gotta say it's an honor to share the stage with Peyton Manning, a man who's won this award 5 times. You inspired a generation of quarterbacks, myself included, buddy, and proud to share the stage with you tonight. Thank you. I'd like to thank the Green Bay Packers, Mark, Brian, Russ, our incredible fan base. It's been an amazing 17 years. So thankful for the memories and the moments over the years.
That was Aaron Rodgers at his MVP acceptance speech, which many people took a ton of different ways. When he thanked Peyton Manning, oh my goodness, is that a signal that he's going to the Broncos? He's thanking the former Broncos quarterback.
Makes sense.
He said goodbye to the Packers right after that, and then he told Matt LaFleur how much he loves him, so everybody thought he was coming back to Green Bay after that. It was quite the wild swing of emotions there.
And then I thought he was going to retire on the stage.
Yeah,
I was like,
so.
What is happening? Where are we going with this?
He's an interesting cat.
It is enough already. So it has to happen by...
It's got to happen tomorrow. By tomorrow, right? I mean, first off, I say that with a little bit of a grain of salt because it's Aaron Rodgers, so I guess nothing really ever has to happen. He's kind of on his own timetable with a lot of things. But tomorrow's the tag deadline, and I believe it's 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow is the tag deadline. And Aaron Davante Adams still has not signed a contract with the Green Bay Packers last time I checked. So he's either going to be tagged tomorrow, or if Aaron Rodgers, I guess, announces that he's going to the wants to be traded, like, do you tag him if you're the Packers? Do you trade him? Like, what do you do? Like, at this point, he's probably going to be tagged, I would assume. And then you can trade him after that if you want to, or. You don't have to trade him. Maybe you want Jordan Love to have a weapon out there if you're the Packers. I don't know.
Jordan Love would appreciate
it. I would imagine Jordan Love would appreciate
tagging
that.
Tagging him, I'm sure.
But I would assume, with the tag deadline being what it is and with free agency right around the corner, if you're Aaron Rodgers, when you say you're not going to drag something out, I think we may be past that point at this time. But I would hope a decision's coming by tomorrow.
That'd be great. Yeah, I mean,
my confidence level that happens, I guess, is slightly over 50%.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about dragging out. We're way past dragging out.
Yeah, I know. Like, he's making it seem like this is like the first time he's thought about this. He comes out of his Pancha Karma cleanse, which we know what a battle that was with Aaron Rodgers. Joe Rexroad will be participating in that this weekend in Tampa.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for letting me know how that goes.
Do some video.
But he's acting like, oh, yeah, I came out and now I've started thinking about this decision. It's like, really? Okay. You've not been thinking about this at all the past year? Like, I don't. Like, what are you torn about? Like, you got to have a decision made at this point. Either you want to be in Green Bay or you don't.
Yeah, well, I guess Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I suppose if I mean if you're him at this point, everything is about what's your best opportunity to win, right? I mean, what's your best? Where do you have the best opportunity to win a Super Bowl?
I hear you, but if that's the decision, it's not close.
You don't think it's close with Denver and Green Bay?
No. Like, the decision should be made if that's the only thing you're weighing. And if Adams comes back, you're guaranteed to they're winning their division next year if he comes back.
That's true. But if Adams goes with him, Denver's defense is not bad. Packers have some cap stress, right? I mean, you don't think that Denver could be comparable to Green Bay? No. Still no?
No.
It's hard. See, I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily agree with you. I think Denver's biggest problem has been quarterback. Like, that makes them seem like a bad team, right? They haven't had any kind of – I mean, they Bridgewater, yeah, okay, game manager guy. I mean, Rodgers makes them dynamic instantly.
Well, he does, but, I mean, who they have on offense besides him? And who are you giving up for a trade for Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams? Like, if you're getting both of them, Jerry Jeudy's not going to be there anymore. I mean, I would hope.
Right.
Those Packers are idiots.
That's the thing is, like, is it purely a mortgage your future kind of trade? Right. Or is it we're bringing back some proven players? I mean, if you're the Broncos and if you're Rodgers, you want it to be, mortgage, give them all the picks they want. Yep. That's what, right? And if that's the case, because, I mean, Jeudy Adams, that could be
pretty good.
That could be pretty good. I don't know. I think Denver could be a pretty good team. But that is also the fact that they're in the AFC, in the AFC West. That is where it probably, if you really go pro-con list or go up down the list and check everything off, I mean, that's where Green Bay certainly has the edge.
Well, yeah, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers went to Denver, I'd probably put him in second. I mean, there's nothing. I think they'd make the playoffs. So I guess it depends on how you look at it. Like, is your path easier being a wild card team, and maybe he doesn't look at it that way. He says they're going to go win the division. I mean, if you come back to Green Bay,
I don't know how you
don't win the division,
right?
Like, unless you just have a barrage of injuries.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how he views it, but it just seems to me like if the choice is as simple as where can I win, to me it's not really that hard of a choice. Now maybe other people disagree with that, but I don't think it's that hard of a choice.
So if, and again, I'm just indulging this in a fantasy way, but if the Titans were really a consideration there,
well,
how would you look at that? I mean, the Titans could be the best possibility.
I think they could be. I think also, like, if you're the Titans and he confirms that you're a place where he might want to play, like, I think at that point, don't you have to try to look in that if you're John Robinson? Like, maybe they've already done some digging in there and they've just determined that you would have to shake up the apple cart too much and it's not worth it. I don't know. Like, that could be something that they've looked at. You know,
Florio says they got their
done. I know he does. He does. I'd be interested to know what the trade terms are from the Titans if that's already set up at that point. But, like, to me, the conversation changes if Aaron Rodgers says, you know what, all right, Green Bay, love you, not coming back. I want to be traded, and I want to be traded either to the Broncos, the Titans, or the Steelers. Well, that, to me, changes things if you're John Robinson. Like, if he confirms that you are one of the places that he wants to be, like, to me, you got to do some pretty serious digging if you're John Robinson.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
I mean, from the Rodgers perspective, you're, I think, looking at, just like with the Packers, well, it's not the exact same because the Colts are good, but
sure.
They could also be bad. I mean, who the heck?
Who's going to be the quarterback?
Yeah. You'd be looking at a pretty strong bet to win your division. You're out of the other, but you're still in the same situation in the AFC.
Yeah.
It's a better conference. But any quarterback, I would think, would be very happy to have Derrick Henry. And you got a good defense. So, Steelers?
I mean, just think about that receiver combo of A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams, and Julio Jones. What a receiver combo that'd be.
Yeah. That's the thing. Well, and that really is, like, when you look at all the different facets of this, one of them is, like, how could Adams be with him? Adams can be with him in Denver.
Yeah. Well, and, like,
what's going back, you know?
Well, do the Packers want to do that? I mean, I can tell you this. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign, doesn't come back to the Packers, like Devontae Adams not signing a long-term deal there.
Right, no way.
I mean, I would think it would behoove the Packers to trade him at that point and get max value for him.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe they don't want to. Maybe they say, well, we need to see what we have in Jordan Love, and the way to do that is throw Devontae Adams out there. I don't know. I think they'd probably trade him.
Tag him and just have him for a year.
Yeah, have him for a year and see if you got a quarterback or not. I don't know.
So if, let's say, and I'm sure, you know, in Green Bay, this is just constantly on a loop.
Oh, yeah.
So if they trade, they trade him to Denver, which is the other place that he could be, realistically.
Yep.
And they trade Adams. How bad is Green Bay next year? How bad is your team?
Pretty bad. Well, at that point, I mean, they're already moving contracts around. I think they're going to cut Za'Darius Smith today. And they cleared up significant cap space at this point. At that point, you're fire sailing, would be my guess. They've said that they're not, but like, how could you not?
How could you not be? At that point. Right. So then you're looking at, and again, I just
Detroit assume, Lions, NFC North champions.
I mean, I'm just saying, this is all leading toward Dan Campbell dunking on everybody. But, I mean, so that's why, you know, for the Broncos, that's why I think that trade would be picks, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be first-rounders?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're going to have, I think, regardless, multiple first-rounders in there anyway.
But, like, why would, like, a Judy be involved in that trade, you know? If you're the Broncos, you're totally going for it. And if you're the Packers, then, like, well,
but Judy's you still only want like 24 good, years old, right?
Well, right. You still want good football players, but I'm just, I guess from Denver's perspective, it's like, okay, now you need to load up if you're going to do this. And, yes, mortgage away. The Packers rebuilding all of a sudden, picks galore.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Build around Jordan Love. Be great around Jordan Love.
Let's be great around Jordan Love. Well, you've already kicked Aaron Jones' contract down the road. You just kicked David Bakhtiari's contract down the road. So you've done a whole lot of finagling at this point if you're the Packers to try to get him back. And then you could be looking around here this time and, you know, 5 days from now saying, all right.
You just undo all that? Just undo all those contracts?
Let's have discussions. Let's get those back in there. I don't know. You know, maybe they do try to go for it with Jordan Love. That'd be a bold move.
What a just such a tough situation, you know, that they're in.
Well, and
I'm sure he loves it.
I'm sure he does. And he talked about before, you know, all this process started that he didn't want to put people through this. And here we are on March the 7th, and he's nowhere to be found except at David Bakhtiari's wedding.
And he officiated.
He did.
Yeah, it's impressive.
So what's going to happen if, like, we get all the way through this and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I was coming back to the Packers the whole time. Just had to work out the deal. It's like, well, what was all that other stuff about then, man? I mean,
he needs to get ratioed. Yeah.
Jeez.
Either way, it's really stupid.
Yeah.
It's enough.
Well, hopefully it comes to an end either today or tomorrow. I would assume that there's a good chance that it might with the tag deadline being what it is, but we'll see what happens on that front. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans. By the way, our text line at the moment is down, so we are not ignoring you on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It is down. Do you have thoughts? Hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.